Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 4. The Gospel of St. Luke. Happy anniversary, Sister Becky. Praise God. I gave her some money for the anniversary. She gave me some money. So she found out that I'd given her $50 more, so she gave me $50 back. We keeping it even now. And just to make her feel better, I took it. Luke chapter 5, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, this is Jesus, when Jesus had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, faith fixes failure. Everybody say that with me. Faith fixes failure. You may be seated. This was one of the worst nights of the Apostle Peter's life. You talk about tired, fished all night. That kind of commercial fishing is bone tiring, weary work, strenuous work. And he was tired, not just from the labor and the energy that he has spent, but the fact that he has toiled all night. And when the morning came, he had nothing to show for it. Man, he's miserable. He is so miserable. And then Jesus comes to him and said, if you don't mind, I want you to work a little overtime. Peter wasn't feeling it. He was feeling like a failure because he was. That's his trade. That's his expertise. When you don't claim to be good at something, it's all right to fail. But if that is your expertise, you're not supposed to fail like that. But I'm speaking to somebody in this room tonight that is marinating in the aftermath of failure. You failed something that really just you can't get it off your mind. Maybe more than one failure, maybe a pattern of failures. The difference between dropouts and overcomers is not whether they fail or not. It is their response to failure. The devil says failure is the ultimate end. The devil is a liar. One of the ways to deal with the devil is when he tells you something, realize that it'll be exactly opposite of what the truth is. A billionaire told me that the difference between him and his peers that he started out with, he said, we all started out broke. But he said, the difference between me and my peers was that failure scared them to death. He said, when they fail, he said, they just get so scared. And whatever they got, they hold on to it. They button it up and lock it down. He said, it scares them into careful inaction. He said, with me, when I fail, he said, it spurs me to greater ventures, greater risk, and greater investments. The day that he was telling me that, he had lost $40 million the day before and was just as happy as a lark and was telling me about opening a racetrack that was going to cost him $100 million. And he opened that track, and it is the most successful track of its kind in this continent, simply because failure does not scare him. He also told me, leverage doesn't bother me. That's his word for debt. He didn't even use the word debt. He calls it leverage. Leverage doesn't bother me, he said. He's brave, courageous in the face of failure. The freeway of life is awash with the billboards of people that failed, and from that failure, they sprang into great success. You can name them by the hundreds, by the hundreds. You're familiar with the story of Abraham Lincoln. Let me refresh you about Abraham Lincoln. In 1816, he and his family was evicted because they couldn't pay for their house. In 1818, 2 years later, his mama died. In 1831, he failed in business. So he went into politics in 1832, ran for the Illinois State Legislature, and lost. In 1832, he lost the little job he had, but he wanted to go to law school. So he borrowed money from a friend to begin a business. By the end of that year, he was bankrupt, and he spent the next 17 years paying back his friend on installments. In 1834, he ran for the state legislature again, and he won. Oh, things are turning around. In 1835, he was engaged to be married, and his sweetheart died. His heart was broken. In 1836, he had a total nervous breakdown, was in bed for 6 months. In 1838, just 4 years after he'd ran and won for the state legislature, he sought to become speaker of the state legislature, but he was defeated. In 1840, he sought to become elector. He was defeated. In 1843, he ran for Congress again, lost. 1846, he ran for Congress again. This time he won, went to Washington, did a good job. In 1848, they turned him out 2 years later. He couldn't get reelected, even though he'd done a great job. In 1849, he sought the job of land officer in the state of Illinois, and again, he was rejected. In 1854, he ran for Senate of the United States. Yep, you guessed it, he lost. In 1856, he sought to become the vice president nominee of his party's national convention. He got less than 100 people to vote for him. In 1858, he ran for U.S. Senate. Again, he lost. In 1860, just 2 years later, he ran for president of the United States and won. Hey, Beto, if you're listening to me, good chance. You lost as your Senate race, but you're running for president now. There's always hope. There's always hope. And Abraham Lincoln is named time and time again as the greatest president that's ever led the United States. He was the man that brought us the Emancipation Proclamation. Perhaps without him, America would still have slavery. Point guy. Man, failure just meant nothing to him. Most people, failure is just totally devastating. Thomas Edison, he invented that light's grandparents. Thomas Edison was told by his teachers he was too stupid to learn anything. He was fired from his first two jobs for being non-productive as an inventor. Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts to invent the light bulb. A smart aleck reporter said to him, "How does it feel to fail 1,000 times?" And Thomas Edison said, "I have not failed. I just found 10,000 ways that don't work." He became arguably, and not much argument to it, the greatest inventor in all the world. Michael Jordan said, "I can accept failure. Everyone fails. But I cannot accept not trying." Winston Churchill said, "Success is not final, and failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." Peter had all the feelings of a failure because he was. That day, long, long ago, he was a total abject failure. Times change, but truth and principles never change. What Peter did on that day of tired nothingness is a pattern to us all. Because there are people in this building that will succeed at many things in life, but you probably will not succeed until you have failed several times. And the difference between you and the person that sets a row or two away from you that does not succeed is you will not let failure define you. You will realize that failure is simply part of your schooling and learning that you pay a high tuition for, but nevertheless, it is education. What Peter did on that day of tired nothingness is a pattern to us all. Let's look at it. And the Bible said it this way in the chapter of my text, verse 3. And Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. I told you how tired he was. I told you how mentally defeated he was. I told you how depressed he was. They didn't have uppers and downers. He wasn't on drugs. He just felt lousy, and he couldn't do anything about it. He was washing his nets moments away from going home to Mama and telling her what a terrible day he had had and have his heart soothed. Just a moment, if he had just a couple of minutes early, he would have got away scot-free. But Jesus saw him and said, "Hey, bub, can I use your boat?" It would have been so easy for Peter to say, "No, I'm too tired." He allowed God access. Friend, if you want to deal effectively with failure in your life, don't ever shut God out. Always make sure that God has an open door to your life, not just in the good times, but particularly in the bad times. When you have failed, it is an amazing time to embrace God and His attributes, because failure is just moments and inches away from success. But most people decide to die there. So number one, he allowed God access. Do you have access for God in your life? That's the reason why it is so important that we learn to praise God, not just when things are going good, not just when the choir is singing, but when you're all alone and you stand on the dock of failure and you can't wait to get rid of the nasty nets and go home, and you don't know why you ever thought you were a fisherman. But that is a wonderful time to give access to God, to give God praise. There has been something about me most of my life, and that I tend to cruise when things are going good. But in adversity, I tend to pedal a whole lot harder. When something comes against me, there's just something that rises up in me. And I would like to say it's character, it's integrity, but the truth is, it's the Holy Ghost. I've had the Holy Ghost since I was a young boy. The Holy Ghost just rises up in me and says, pedal higher. Adversity is here. You have failed, and everybody around you's failed. Other people have assisted you in your failure, but you are the initiator of your failure. And all of a sudden, something inside of me says, this would be a perfect time to give God some praise, to pedal higher, to reach farther, to believe God stronger. There's somebody in this building tonight that you have failed. I don't know whether it was this year or the latter part of the last year. You failed at something, and the devil does not understand that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And that failure is not going to be your defeat at all. It's going to be the thing that stokes the fire. It's going to be the thing that instigates the faith. And Peter could have said, not me. There's other boats along here. But he gave God access. Number two, do something for someone else, particularly the kingdom of God, when you fail. You know, it's pretty easy to be generous when you have succeeded. It's pretty easy to be generous with your time when things are going well. But when you're so discouraged and you're so defeated and your dreams are just coming apart at the seams and you just have no motivation to get out of bed in the morning, and all of a sudden you see somebody else and you'll say, I think that they need a little help. Jesus needed a place. Jesus needed a boat. Jesus needed a venue. The crowd was pressing in upon him, and he was about to have to shut the church service down. He was losing his building. And all of a sudden, he turned to Peter and said, "Hey, buddy, can you loan me a dime? Hey, buddy, can I borrow your boat?" And Peter realized, I am defeated and I have failed, but that's not an excuse to shut other people out. That is really an opportunity to invest myself in somebody else and see what the Lord will do. I went to a church in upstate New York, and a fellow came to me and he said, "Pastor, for 20 years, I've sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Number one, that's not a scriptural position, but I wasn't there to teach him all of that. He said, "I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I just can't get it." He said, "I want it." He's in a Pentecost church. Everybody in the church, just about, you know, vast majority of them, except the first-time people, had the Holy Spirit. He just felt like an outsider, a loner. He said, "Pastor, I don't know what to do." He said, "I've prayed, I've fasted, I've sought the Lord, I've cried, I've done everything." And so that was before service. And when I got through preaching, several people came to the altar, and he was one of them. I walked over to him. He said, "You know why I'm here? I want the Holy Spirit." I said, "Forget it." He said, "What?" I said, "Forget it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you've been concentrating. It's not working, is it?" And he said, "No." I said, "See that guy way at the end?" I said, "He's brand new. I just talked to him. He's never been here before." I said, "Now, you haven't received it, but you sure know a lot about it. Why don't you go assist him in receiving the Holy Spirit?" He said, "I don't have it." I said, "That's not the point. You know about it. Go assist him." He went over and put his hands on that man and began to pray with him. It wasn't 5 minutes until God baptized him with the Holy Spirit. Friend, if you want somebody, something in your life, help somebody else get it. God has a way of working like that. And so he was a failure, but he wasn't going to let Jesus fail. He said, "You need a boat? I got a boat, man. I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm disgusted, I've failed, but it has not killed in me the desire to do something for someone else." The Bible said Jesus prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people. He gave Jesus a venue. Number three, don't let failure make you hopeless. Now, when Jesus had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Peter knew this was not his first meeting. He was not yet a disciple. He was not close to Jesus, but he knew a little bit about Jesus. And this one thing he knew, that Jesus was a carpenter. He wasn't a fisherman. How agitating is it when somebody that knows nothing about your trade wants to tell you how to do it? It would have been so easy for Peter to say, "Not only am I hopeless, I'm helpless, but I sure don't need the help of a carpenter when it comes to fishing." Peter gets a lot of bad rap just because he had one cussing fit. Boy, one cussing fit can hurt your reputation. Man, I was shocked. E.V. Hill, how many people remember Dr. E.V. Hill? You know, he was born right out here next to a ranch I used to own out here at Seguin and went to school there. And I was watching, he was one of my favorite preachers. I got to meet him one time and just, man, what a preacher. But I was so shocked. He said, "You know one of my biggest problems?" He said, "Cussing." He said, "I just love to cuss." He said, "I've cussed a lot of Baptist deacons out. I like to never recover from that. Sometimes I just wish people wouldn't be so honest." But then he said, "Thank God I finally got delivered. I don't cuss no more." Of course, being a Baptist, it takes you a little longer to get some of these things, I guess. But he was in good company. E.V. was in good company. Way before he cussed a Baptist deacon, Peter cussed out some people. That's after he already knew Jesus. But he gets a bad rap for that emotional breakdown. But the truth is, he has some great qualities. Or Jesus would not have picked him to be the keynote speaker at the birthday of the church. The Bible said, Peter stood up with the 11. Hallelujah. And he began to preach. Friend, don't disqualify yourself because you have some glaring faults, failures, and inadequacies. If you will study the men and women of the Bible, you'll find out they did too. And God still used them. And so Peter realized that he had failed. He realized the circumstance of the situation seemed to be hopeless, but yet he was able to hear Jesus say, Why don't you launch out into the deep and let down your nets? Because I'm a fisherman and you're not. That's the proper response. It's one thing about Peter, he was never politically correct. He had the knack for saying the wrong thing, and Jesus would rebuke him for that on a couple of occasions in the Bible. But don't let failure make you, well, I failed. I failed, and I'm just hopeless. There's just no way. Friend, I'm telling you that God does not need people with tremendous, impeccable ability. He needs people with availability. Just presenting yourself, saying, Lord, here I am. Oh, I got some warts, but warts and all, I present my body as a living sacrifice. And all of this goes a long way to tell you that there was in Peter this overriding attribute of faith. He just had that faith. It's going to get better. I want to thank God that God has given me the gift of faith. Pastor Phillips called me. You know, he's almost 80 years of age. He called me a couple of days ago, and he said, can you come and preach? He's retired from his church, but he said, can you come and preach one more time? And I thought he was already retired, and I said, why? He said, I want to hear you preach faith just one more time before I go. And so I subscribe to faith. Above all, take the shield of faith. There have been many times in my life when I've toiled all night and caught nothing. There's been many times when I've attempted things and was totally and completely destroyed and missed the mark and nothing happened. But I've always believed that it's going to get better, that tomorrow is better. Oh, I know what it is to go the long night with weeping, but I also always believe that in the morning, there's going to be joy. Joy is coming in the morning. I want to tell somebody in this building right now that the devil is the architect of your failure. But you don't have to stay partners with him. You can break that partnership tonight. And praise God, you can join up with Jesus. You can get a different partner. A friend of mine was in a lawsuit in Florida. He realized that he was losing the lawsuit, sitting there with his lawyer. He got up in the middle of the trial and walked over and said over to the people that were suing him. And the judge said, sir, what are you doing? This is a true story. He said, Your Honor, I can't stand to lose. He said, I see I'm losing. I'm going to the other side. The judge said, get back over there. Friend, I refuse to lose. I refuse to lose. That's the reason why I'll change football teams 4 or 5 times during the season. You're looking at a major Patriots fan tonight. Major, major. It's the reason why I don't buy jerseys. I don't want there to be evidence that I used to be a fan of a loser. So I just don't borrow. All of my jerseys and all of my shirts say nothing. Praise God. I don't like to lose. And when I realize I'm losing, I'll make some changes. And I'll listen to Jesus. Peter didn't like to lose. He said, tell me more. And his buddy said, tell you more? He's a carpenter. And he's telling you how to fish. And Peter said, but I'm a failure and he's a winner. You know, you might not think Jesus ever lived with your wife. But praise God, I'm telling you that Jesus never loses. Never lived with your husband, but Jesus never loses. Never worked on your job. He was never a plumber or electrician or a banker. Oh, friend, Jesus never loses. I don't care what subject that you want to talk about, you better take Jesus' advice because he is the author and the finisher. Say, but he was a carpenter. Oh, yeah, he was. But he happened to know what the fish had in their mouth. He said, go down and catch that fish. There'll be a gold coin in his mouth. Even though he was called a carpenter, he was the best fisherman that ever lived. And friend, I can tell you this, that no matter what you're going through, God is an expert on your circumstance. God is an expert in your situation. God is an expert exactly in the area of your failure. And if you'll just listen to the Lord, he's going to turn it around. And he said, what the devil means for failure, I'm going to turn to success. I'm going to turn it around. You know, all Peter needed that day on that dock of his dismal failure was to allow faith to come alive, because faith fixes failure. I don't know what you think you failed at, but you haven't really failed. You've simply proven that it can't be done your way, but you haven't proven it can be not be done God's way, because God's ways are not your ways, and you belong to God, and God is going to use you. Praise God. And you are look at somebody and say, you are sitting next to a person of faith. Just say that. Not just normal faith, big faith. Major faith. Look at somebody say, I can cast out devils. Look at somebody say, I can heal the sick. Look at somebody say, I was born to prosper. I'm an overcomer. I'm a mountain mover. Because what you have to understand, you're sitting by somebody that has got faith in their spirit, praise God, and nothing's going to keep me down, because faith fixes failure every time. Every time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number four, develop a nevertheless attitude. That's one of the greatest statements in the Bible. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. That's an amazing statement. That's total failure. We've exhausted all resources. We have totally bankrupt our ability. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Friend, what that means, I've gone to church for 5 straight years, and now this happened. I've written tithing checks every 2 weeks for 17 years, and now I'm broke. I've done everything I know to do, and my kids are acting up. Just go down the list. Go down the list. But praise God, if you want faith to fix your failures in life, you've got to be able to say, but I've got this attitude that says all I've done hasn't worked. But nevertheless, at thy word, ladies and gentlemen, I simply believe the word of God. I literally stray away, move away from people that will not honor the word of God, because opinion is not impressive to me. If Benny Hinn had done that, his whole section would have fallen off. But people that come to me with their opinion, didn't get it, it's still there. Just drop it down a little bit. Hey, I hadn't thought of that. People that come to me with their experience, and the Lord told, the most dangerous people in the world are people, and the Lord told me, and the Lord told me you're ugly, and the Lord told me you're to give me all your money, and the Lord told me you're to give me the deed to your house. Those Lord told me people are very scary to me, because I want people that will say, nevertheless, I feel. Nevertheless, the Lord told me. Nevertheless, I think. Doesn't matter to a hill of beans. But nevertheless, at thy word, at thy word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't matter what it feels like, looks like, thinks like, smells like. Praise God. What does the word of God say about it? I told Cruz when he was in the office, you know, getting old is just terrible, because people want you to say things that are wise. Young preacher just said. I go to preach the other day at a church, and, you know, it's 15 minutes of service. This guy marches 3 young assistants in. He said, Pastor, would you pour into them the next 15 minutes before service starts? Hey, I got my mind on preaching out there. I don't want to pour nothing. But then I got to sit there and just think a bunch of things, real wise, you know. And what really convinces people that you're wise is to say things that are very confusing that they can't understand. They say, boy, that was great. That was deep. Whoa, man. That was way over my head, wasn't it? No, the guy's insane. It wasn't over your head. You don't know what he's talking about. I get on Facebook. I read these guys. They put all kinds of stuff. It don't make a bit of sense. And then their little groupie says, whoa, man, that was deep. No, it wasn't deep. It didn't make sense. So anyway, Cruz is sitting there, you know, and Cruz is in his 30s. And so I was supposed to say something profound. All I could think is, he was talking about something. I said, remember this, Cruz. Find two verses and one example in the Bible for everything you want to do. And I do believe that. You'll never go wrong if you don't build it on one verse. The Bible said by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Find two verses and one example, and you ain't never going to go wrong. Peter said, I've toiled all night, and I'm an expert fisherman. Everybody knows I'm an expert fisherman. But I am ready to discard my reputation and take the advice of a carpenter because I believe in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe in the Word of God more than I believe in my own brain. There's lots of times I think this is the way it ought to be, and then I find the verse. That's not what it says. That's not what the Bible says. But that seems logical to me. That's how Saul got in trouble. God said, kill all the animals. And he said, I got a better idea. Let's sacrifice them to Jehovah. It might have been a better idea, but it wasn't the Word of God. Your better idea will never supersede the Word of God, I can tell you that. You can be just as wise as you possibly can, but you better go back to the simplicity of God's Word, because God's Word cannot, will not return void. And so when Peter said, wait just a minute, I failed, but I'm going to tell you this, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my nets. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly the way I tried to live my life. What does the Bible have to say? People come up to you, they want you to always agree with them. Pastor, I've got $10 and I need to buy some shoes for my little boy down at Payless. Or should I pay my tithes? Don't put that monkey on my back. Oh, sir, your boy's feet are more important than the eternal Word of God. I'm just not going to wear that suit. Don't come to me trying to get me to reverse the Word of God. Because I'm just like old Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Word of God is greater than what I know, what I think, what I feel, what I believe, what I can reason, what my logic is. The Word of God is forever settled, praise God, and you'll never, ever go wrong believing the Word of God. And Peter said, I tell you what, I might have been a failure, but this one thing I know, if you tell me to let down your net, let down my nets, nevertheless, I will let down my nets. Ladies and gentlemen, there's somebody in this building right now that you are inches, seconds, minutes, days away from the greatest harvest of your life. And you're going through the greatest hell you've ever been through. And the devil is lying to you. And the devil is calling you a failure. And the devil is saying, you're down and you'll never get up. He's saying you're losing and you're never going to win. He is a liar. You're down, but praise God, you're already on the way back up. You're going to win bigger than you've ever won. You might have failed, but it does not matter because you're not a failure. Praise God, you are going to achieve things in your life that only God can help you do. But you need to get your praise on. You need to get your prayer line reestablished. You need to get your face back in that book. You need to get down on your knees and say, praise God, I might have toiled all night and caught nothing, but alert the presses, praise God, for things are going to change in my life, because he's the God of the turnaround, and he's getting ready to make me the greatest fisherman on the coast, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody said, it's your business to humble yourself, and it's God's business to promote you. But if you insist on doing God's work of promoting yourself, God will do your work of humbling you. Just tell God. How humbling is it to a professional fisherman to take the advice of a carpenter? It's terribly humbling. But praise God, you've got to have faith in the Word. Nevertheless, at thy word, nevertheless, at thy word, something is about to happen. Be obedient to the Word of God is number 5. Number 6 is share your harvest. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. Peter was a mature adult fisherman that had spent a lifetime fishing. But when he was obedient to the Word of God, that day of failure turned into his greatest success. How do you know? Because he exceeded the weight limit of his nets, because they had never broke before, because he had never had that big a harvest before. Some of you right now are on the verge of breaking your nets. Some of you are on the verge of overflowing your cup. Some of you are on the verge of having the greatest breakthrough of your life, the greatest experience of your life. Literally, literally, he said, I will pour you out a blessing you are not able to contain. And Peter's nets could not contain the great draught of fish that he brought up from the deep, just like Jesus said. And there's somebody in this building that has just come through a tremendous failure in your life, and you ought to be on your feet saying, thank God, thank God, thank God. Because now God is going to show up and show himself strong in my behalf, and I'm going to have the biggest harvest of my life. So big. It was so big. The harvest was. Don't you know that these guys in these other boats, did you hear about Peter? What? He fished all night and caught nothing. They were just having a little giggling party over in those other boats, you know. I can almost guarantee you this. If you become a great person of faith, you will become a laughingstock of the hypocrites and the doubters. There's always a place in there, that space in between, where they can laugh and mock and prophesy about how bad it's going to be. And, oh, they were having a time. And all of a sudden somebody said, you know, Peter's got back out in the water. I thought he was cleaning his nets. Well, he was a while ago, but he's got that, you know, that guy's been going around teaching. He's got him in the boat, and they're going out there. Oh, he's just going to go out there. He'll be right back. No, no, he's going out into the deep. I thought he's through. No, no, he's casting his net on the other side. There's no bigger joy, and I've experienced it a number of times in my life, than to be able to bless the people that have tried to destroy you. You talk about revenge. That's a whole lot more fun than punching them in the face. Would you like to have a little of my harvest? Would you like to have a little of my... There's somebody in this building right now tonight. There's been somebody worked against you for a long time trying to make sure you don't succeed. But praise God, it's not going to be long until you can take them an offering, bake them a cake, give them a ride in your car, let them spend the night in your guest room. Praise God. The Bible said it was so great, he beckoned to the other ships. He made his critics his partners. It's a pretty big deal. Because he was obedient to God's word. And they were astonished. Or didn't say they, really said he. He was astonished. Peter was astonished. Shocked. Can I tell somebody in this building that you got some faith, but your faith is not big enough to keep you from being shocked about what God's going to do for you? The Bible said Peter was astonished. Wow, I didn't think it was going to be this big. Did you ever look at successful people and realize that they didn't know how successful they were going to be? I like to watch that guy, MyPillow. You know, when he made that first pillow, you think he thought he was going to be a household name? Sold millions of those pillows.
I bought one of those pillows. It ain't no good. But it don't matter. He's selling millions of them. Today, guess what? Guess what? He's got new sheets. Boy, advertising is so powerful. I bought the pillow. It didn't help me a bit, folks. But I saw it tonight while I was getting ready for church in my dressing room. I got a little TV in here watching the news. He advertised him sheets. His pillow didn't help me any, but I'm just thinking, do I want some of those sheets? And then I heard Juanita, Bonnie's little voice saying, no more sheets. So I didn't. So I said, nah, I'm not going to buy those sheets. That's so stupid. Oh, that's stupid, but it's funny. That's funny, Tammy. I don't care who you are. That's funny. I'm closing. Number 7. If you want faith to fix your failure, you got to think bigger. Don't ever let failure shrink your dream, shrink your vision, shrink your thought. As a man thinketh, so is he. Failure should simply be fodder to make you think bigger. He was astonished, it says in the first 3 verses of that. And all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They was all astonished. But listen to what Jesus said. Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. This guy's not a preacher. He's not a prophet. He's nothing. He's a fisherman. Plain and simple. He's a fisherman. But Jesus said that you have been faithful. You say, well, how can you say he was faithful? There's only one proof of faith in the world. He was obedient to the word. That's it. Said, do I have any faith, Pastor? Examine yourself. Are you faithful to the word? Obedient to the word. If you do, and you are, you full of faith. You got it running out your ears because you're obedient to the word. When you don't think like the word thinks and you don't feel like the word says, but you're still obedient. And Peter did that. And Jesus said, guess what, buddy boy? You little cussing fisherman, I'm fixing to make you the spokesman of the church. A nobody became somebody because faith fixed his failure. Stand on your feet and give God some praise. Oh, I tell you what I'm asking for tonight. I'm asking for somebody that's humble enough and honest enough to walk down to this altar and say, Pastor, I've had a failure in my life that's been slapping my face and embarrassing me, and I just thought, maybe I just don't have it. Maybe I shouldn't try again. Remember, every great person you know in every field is a failure that just wouldn't quit until success came. Is this the bravest woman in the church? Is this the bravest man in the church? Maybe not. Maybe they got some brothers and sisters in this building tonight that say, I realize I've failed in some things in my life. I tell you what, my first marriage was a mess. I'm never going to get married again. Okay, let him win. Let that guy that beat you like a pulp, let him win. There's a guy out there that will love you and won't ever strike you. There's a woman out there that will be glad to be the mother of your children. There is a banker out there. You say, Red McCombs told me that he was turned down on his first loan he ever asked for by every bank in Corpus Christi. You said, I went to Frost Bank, and they said, no. Well, there's Randolph. There's Wells. Just keep going. Just keep going. Somebody's going to like the cut of your jaw. Somebody's going to have the Holy Spirit, and men are going to give to your bosom. It don't matter how many people say no. You just need one yes. Just one yes is all you need. It don't matter if you have 50 no's. Just one yes is all. So the banker said, no, that don't mean you can't do it. That don't mean you can't have your business. They said they wouldn't hire you in that position. There's 50 more companies just like them in San Antonio. One of them is going to hire you. One of them is going to hire you. Don't let failure define you. God created you not to fail, but to succeed. And you just got to keep doing it in Jesus' name, because you've got faith. I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. I will succeed. I will be healed. The doctor said, I can't get well. Well, the Bible said they're practicing. That's what they call it. So you have a practice doctor? Yes, yes, I do. I have a practice. Okay? So that practicing physician said I was never going to get well. I'll find me another doctor. Becky's got a doctor she likes. I can't stand a doctor. It's a woman doctor, and I used to go to her. Every time I went, it was negative. Oh, she's just terrible. And I've been trying to get Becky to leave her, and she won't do it. She loves that doctor. She works for her. She didn't work for me. I found me a good doctor. Man, he likes to talk about Jesus every time I go in. He said, you know, I was thinking about going to the ministry as a young man before I became a doctor. So we have a lot to talk about. And I talk to him about healing. He talks to me about medicine. It's just a great fit. But the point is, that one doctor was going to turn me into a failure. I had to find me another doctor. The right doctor is the one that works for you. The right banker is the one that works for you. The right job is the one that works for you. The right job is the one that works for you. The right husband is the one that works for you. The right wife is the one that works for you. And the Lord is on your side. The Lord is on your side. And what you got going for you, you have put faith above all, the shield of faith, praise God. And because of that, faith will fix failure, and you are going to reap a harvest you can share with friends and enemies alike. I want everybody in this altar to put your hands up, because I want to touch you, because I want to use you in a sermon. Oh, do you know what's going to happen to you? If you come back and give me a report, I can use you as a sermon, because there's somebody following along behind.